thank you very much, and I'm very grateful to CEPR and the Senate and House offices that have organized this for me and all of us this opportunity to talk about a really important issue. I have two things with my time to run out that I want to talk about, and the first is that we talk a little bit sort of indicated about the national economy and what I think needs to be done globally, and then I have a few minutes at the end. I want to talk about what we've learned about how to structure the economy of leave so that it can be win-win for workers and for businesses, and so that unions and women's groups can also support it if we don't find any way to do. So the first thing I want to talk about is the fact that, as I think everybody in this room probably knows, the American economy is extremely productive. We are used to walking around, you know, with these long faces and, oh my gosh, this is a way of against this or anything. But in fact, we're much richer than we were 30 years ago. In terms of productivity, workers produce 70% more than they did 30 years ago. And the other big increase has been in hours worked. I think everybody in this room is aware of the fact that in the last 30 years, there's been a tremendous increase in the employment of women and especially in the employment of mothers with young children. And the result is that the economic pie in this country is much, much larger than it was a generation ago. The problem is that family income hasn't risen nearly as rapidly as family hours of work. In fact, they lag substantially behind family hours of work. So families are working much more, but they're seeing only a very small increase in pay. And they are working without affordable father's child care, without paid sick days, without paid family leave, without control of their work schedules, all the things that families need in order to be able to manage the work and family life. And the result is that despite working harder, families face greater stress and greater economic insecurity. So despite the fact that the pie is much bigger, as the President always likes to point out, the economic insecurity of domestic working families is also more acute. And this dichotomy, in my view, is the central contradiction confronting the U.S. economy. So we do need to do something about it. Now, it's true that we have to move to more sensible tax and budget policy, but in a country as rich as ours, we can afford to put people first. And so we can afford the investments that we need to deal with the whole range that we'll go through them, the whole range of problems that face us, everything from global warming to better balance of working families. And of course, we face a long-term crisis in healthcare financing, which I know everybody in this room is aware of, that also has to be addressed, both for the physical health of the country and for the physical health of the working families. The second point, so the pie is much larger, but the second point I want to make is that the U.S. is becoming an hourglass economy. If you look at BLS's projections for where the job opening will be through 2014, you will find that 40% of job openings are projected to be in low-wage jobs that require either short or very short on-the-job training. So we have a low-wage, low-skill equilibrium in a large part of our labor market, and we're not really thinking about how we're going to address this. That's a much bigger question than we've come to talk about today. I have ideas about that too for another time, but all I want to point out here is that these low-wage jobs, which are not going anywhere, they are not going to be excluded, are women's jobs. They're in child care, home health aide, nurse's assistant, retail clerk, hotel housekeeper, food prep, food server. That's where job openings are going to be. Workers in these jobs are really stuck in a low-wage environment. And so both because families are working more hours and because we have this large low-wage sector of the labor market, working families really need a bill of rights that establishes minimum employment standards. And what I mean by minimum employment standards are livable wages, universal health care, affordable quality child care, paid sick days and vacation, paid family and medical leave, and some control over work schedules so that you can deal with the things that come up, teacher meetings, taking trips to the doctor, and so on. So that's what I'm here to really push, that we need some sort of working family bill of rights to fairly reward all of the work the families are doing and to begin to make a dent in this low-wage labor market. and finally deliberate for a second important reason, something that I don't think people who think about working time really typically focus on. The trade deficit for the United States is now running at an $820 billion annual rate, or more than 6% of GDP. This is three times, actually now more than three times, as large as the federal budget deficit. So we all focus on the federal budget deficit, but who amongst us is paying as much attention to the trade deficit? What economists know, in the famous quote, saying Herb Stein, the Republican Council of Economic Advisors, if a thing can't continue, something can't continue, it's too long. And so at some point, we will need to pay the piper. Right now, we are at a country where we are consuming 6% more than we produce. When we have to make this balance out at the end of the day, as a country, we are going to have to consume less than we produce as a country. And the question is, whose consumption is going to be hit? Well, it won't be the lower-wage people, because if you're already a minimum wage worker with no benefits whatsoever, basically, there's nothing left to cut. Your consumption can't go down any further than it already is. And so my concern is that it is the lower middle class, the middle class. This is where the cuts in consumption will come. Well, a working family bill of rights that gives you a living wage, universal health care, affordable child care, pay time off to care, these things will make it possible for the middle class to better face whatever is going to happen when our trade imbalance needs to be addressed. So I really think it's important for that reason as well. I see that I'm out of time, and I don't want to hold up the panel, but in question and answer, if you ask me how should we structure pay family leave, I'm happy to address that question. Thank you.